Humanity, over the course of history, has almost always been affected by sin since the very beginning. If we look at Genesis, we see when God comes down into the garden after the fall, after Adam and Eve have sinned against the Lord, they hide, right? They hide because they're fearful of God. When our sins are revealed, we have a choice to make. Do we go further into the sin? Do we deny that we've done wrong, or hide the fact, or refuse the truth that what we have done is wrong? That's one choice. Or we can turn back. And so sometimes we can get caught up in sort of staying away from the Lord, remaining kind of unrepentant. And until we admit our fault, we can't really be healed. And we can't really avoid the effects of sin, which are, of course, damnation and unhappiness and all these things that come from it. So because sin is evil, and because it leads us to an unhappy existence, we must fight against it. And we're never going to be at peace with it. Sometimes I think we do try to make peace with our sins. We sort of try to get comfortable with them, or we sort of accept them. Little historical, you know me, I like history. Back to the 1930s, if you think of the time when the Nazis were sort of on the rise, and Hitler and his forces were kind of taking over different parts of Europe, and the Allies, which were at the time was the French and the English, maybe you've heard there's been those movies about Churchill lately, they had a decision to make, right? The temptation, I think, at that time, you know, they were just getting over World War I and all its effects, and the temptation to say, you know, we don't really want to fight this. We don't really want to get in a big argument here. Can we just live with this? Can we just make peace with this? Can we just contain it? Maybe it'll get better after some years. The reality is, though, that sin, like Hitler and his forces, it only digs in deeper when we don't resist it. The longer we allow it to remain unchallenged, the longer and the more strength it gains. You know, in a sense, with our sins, we can kind of say, well, you know, sometimes we kind of feel like we're sort of bargaining with it. You know, just stay here. If you don't get any worse, I won't attack you. Let's just make peace here. We'll have the neutral zone here, and, you know, just keep this little part of my life contained, and it'll be okay. But at the opportune moment, our sins will rise up against us, and they'll raise their ugly head and take over another area of our life, or start affecting other areas of our lives. And, you know, oftentimes we sort of, again, we'll be sort of negotiating our freedoms away, one by one. So sin will not stop on its own. We must fight against it. It must be fought. It must be resisted, and it must be surrendered over to God, allowing God to come in and heal. Once we realize this fact, the reality that sin is evil, it becomes clear that we must be opposed to it. Sometimes simply knowing something is evil or sinful helps us to avoid, right? We can say, okay, I won't do that anymore. So that's a training of the, or forming of the mind, right? Our intellect or our ability to kind of just understand, sometimes it's enough. But the more difficult struggle comes and arises when sin has a hold on us. When we feel we're overpowered by it, or addicted to it, or we're stuck, we might loathe our sin, we might hate it, and yet we fall into it again and again and again. We may make promises not to do it again. We might do what we can to avoid occasions of sin, and yet we still find that we can't avoid it. Our will is not strong enough to follow up on the knowledge, the truth that we know, that this sin is harming me and it's harming others. It's in these moments, when we admit that we can't overcome the sin on our own, that we will either look for help, you know, asking divine assistance, or else admit defeat and despair of ever attaining freedom from it. I think, unfortunately, there's people who feel stuck, they feel trapped, and often they reject the path towards virtue. They believe the lie that, you know, I can't change, I'm stuck here. They feel defined by their sin. They accept this, and the devil and his demons begin dragging that soul deeper and deeper into their clutches. So what are the weapons? What are the weapons that God gives us to fight against these sins and temptations in our life? Well, our first line of defense is really prayer, having that prayer life with God. You know, if we keep that line of communication open, we're able to continually beg the Lord, help me with this thing in my life. Help me to surrender this to you. Now give me the grace that I need to overcome this challenge. Give me the grace to give everything over to you. Secondly, we have the sacraments, our baptism and confirmation. They really give us that ability, that capacity to overcome our sins, to have the graces that we need to fight against them, to stay living in the freedom of God. Now, we don't always choose that, right? Probably realize that. We don't always choose that, but it gives us the capacity to choose that. Then we have the Eucharist, right? The source of strength. Jesus feeds us within his very self, helps us to stay close to him. And these are our shields, we might say, or our armor that we wear to defend ourselves against sin. Now, one thing to notice about that is if we have a nice suit of armor, beautiful suit of armor, nice shield, we just keep it over in the corner and say, isn't that nice? Look at this. Very, very, very beautiful, very, very strong armor. But if we don't put it on, we don't wear it, it doesn't do us much good. So we need to receive those sacraments. We need to live that life of prayer. We need to do that. If we don't wear it, then it can't defend us. So what happens then if we get wounded, if the evil one's able to penetrate our armor? Well, that's when we need the sacrament of reconciliation. And we can't live or function fully if we've been seriously wounded or if we've been hurt. In order to heal, we must go to the divine physician. Maybe you haven't had the experience of being trapped in your sin or caught up in the snares of the devil. Give thanks for that, truly. Give thanks for that. Because I assure you, it's not an uncommon experience that people have of being, they feel stuck, they feel trapped. And so for those who want to avoid their sins but find themselves unable to do so, it's a very disheartening thing to continually fall back into their sins. So let's pray for them. Let's offer prayers to them on their behalf. Let me remind you also of God's endless mercy. You know, never, never despair that I'm beyond God's help, or I'm beyond God's mercy, or that I can't be forgiven. We have to trust that no matter where I am, no matter how many times I fall down and get back up, God is always there to forgive. If we desire freedom and forgiveness from our sins, he doesn't withhold it from us. That's why Jesus came. We heard today, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So that's good news. You know, God's mercy is endless. He wants to receive us back. He wants to encourage us. He doesn't want us to perish or suffer in our sins, but he wishes us to be saved. Why then, you might ask, well, why, Lord, if you really want to save me, why do you allow me to fall back into my sins continually? Why doesn't he take away my temptation? Why doesn't he just instill virtue in me right away? St. Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about this. He recalls his own struggle with sin. He says, three times I begged the Lord about this, that it, my sin, would be removed. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So if St. Paul, a great saint, a great evangelist, if he is subject to this cycle of repeated sin, we should not be surprised if we too experience it in our own lives. God wants us to trust his power to save, not live in the pride of thinking that I can do this on my own. I have good enough willpower, I have strong enough virtue that I can save myself. God would much rather have a person realize by their sin that they need his grace and protection than someone who appears to be free of sin but is inwardly caught up in pride and self-righteousness. If you read the readings of the day, if you went to Mass today, this morning, that's a great gospel to meditate upon if this is your struggle. If you tend to be more self-righteous or struggle with pride, I just invite you to read that reading from this morning. Thus, sometimes God allows a person to experience a long battle for freedom against their sins. For when such a battle is fought, when we fight against evil in our life, the harder the struggle, the more ardently one will strive for it and appreciate that great gift of freedom when it comes. Once it is gained, they will hold on to that tenaciously, and they will cling to Christ rather than to go back into their sin. You know, we have a profound understanding of their need for God. If we've lived this life of struggle back and forth with sin, we'll have that profound understanding of our need for Christ and our need for mercy and our need for God's grace. And thus, by allowing them to struggle, the Lord has, in a sense, strengthened them and strengthened their resolve that they can have this conversion moment and that their faith has really been tested and fortified. So I think knowing our failures, if we've had this struggle with sin, knowing our failures, it gives us great compassion for others. We're able to look at others with compassion and say, you know, maybe that's not my struggle, but I know what it is to struggle against sin, or I know what it is to struggle with just challenges in my life. And when we have that in our own experience, I think it gives us such a powerful experience of compassion for others. So sometimes I think the Lord also allows that so that we can have compassion for others. When something comes easy or is handed to us, kind of on a silver platter, we don't always realize the gift that it is. We might not appreciate what it is without that struggle to attain it. Without going through the ups and downs, we're less likely to kind of receive that and really hold on to that as a great gift. So I guess two big takeaways today. First, come to confession. Come to confession. Whether it's been a long time or, you know, a month or so, whether it's here in our parish or in another parish, if it's been a while, come and get divine grace and healing in your life. In the bulletin this week, you'll notice there's an insert there that has extra confession times over the next few weeks, and also the reconciliation services that are offered here in our parish and then other parishes as well in the area. So find a time, go and receive the sacrament of mercy. Receive the mercy of God, which He so desires to give to each one of us. Receive that as a gift. And secondly, pray for those. Pray for those who are trapped in cycles of sin. Offer reparation for them. Your fasting, your pain, your struggles, offer it for those who feel stuck. We need to offer that for them. Pray that God's grace would penetrate their hearts and allow them to continue seeking forgiveness. Pray that they would persevere and trust in God's boundless mercy rather than their own willpower. This is my hope for us these next few weeks, is that we, as a family, as a parish family, that every single person would come, make a good confession this Lent, and they would feel able to go deeper in their relationship with God, feel freedom in that, and that those who feel overwhelmed would find new strength and would be renewed and not grow weary. O Lord and Master, I am unworthy both of heaven and of earth, because I have surrendered myself to sin and become a slave of worldly pleasures. Yet, since you created me and since you can shape me as you want, I do not despair of salvation. But made bold by your compassionate love, I come before you. Receive me, dear Lord, as you received the harlot, the thief, the tax collector, and even the prodigal son. You love all people, so pour out your love upon me. Lift me from the heavy burden of sin, cleanse every stain of unrighteousness from me, and wash me white with the waters of holiness. Amen.